Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, we nominate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers All-Decade Defensive Team. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. Blue Chew, that's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, you know, a lot of guys talk a big game, but if you're a one-and-done kind of guy, Blue Chew can even help you get to round number two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for all our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to try Blue Chew for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
What's up, guys? David Harrison of the Locked On Bucks podcast here. And before we get today's show started, I wanted to let you know about one of our sponsors, Calm. We talk about fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Jarko, joined as always by Bailey Adams. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at Jarko underscore Bucks, at Bailey J Adams 22, and at Bucks underscore Nation. Bailey and I today have been given the task, the impossible task, of nominating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers All-Decade Team on defense as well as kicker and punter. And Bailey, if there's anything we learned from going through the roster and sorting out the best of the best, it's that the Buccaneers defensive players were terrible through the entire decade. Like, just so bad.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. When you said impossible task, I think you can consider that one of two ways. It's impossible maybe in the sense that there's a bunch of good players and it's hard to whittle it down, or it's impossible in that I left a bunch of my spots blank because I had no idea who to pick because there was so much mediocrity throughout this entire decade.
Mediocrity would have been an improvement.
Yeah.
That's how bad this was.
I don't want to completely trash everyone because there's some pretty good defensive players on this list and out of these nominees, but yeah, there's not a lot of depth or a lot of really good to talk about here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of future Hall of Famers that are going to be talked about, but yeah, by and large, I mean, we're going through and seeing stuff like Cody Grimm being a starting defensive player.
What about EJ Biggers?
Oh, God, my favorite Buccaneer of all time, E.J. Biggers. He was awesome. Don't forget Chris Baker.
Don't forget Roberto Aguayo.
Ooh, yeah. And Ryan Lindell.
Sending spoilers out all over the place right here.
We really are.
Roberto Aguayo is under strong consideration here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had 10 kickers to choose from. That's, again, it's just...
Goodness.
You know what? This is going to be the shortest episode in history. The 2019 all-decade team on defense was just the 2019 defense. Moving on. Sorry, David.
No objections.
All right. Well, Bailey, let's go ahead and dive into this, and we will start, as we always do, in the trenches with defensive tackle. Now, the approach to this is, given that nine of the 10 seasons, you know, we're looking at 2010 through 2019, the Buccaneers primarily played a 4-3. So that's kind of how we're approaching this. Now, once the nominations are done, we will be putting a post up on BucsNation.com about it, and there will be a poll for our listeners as well as our readers to go on and vote for who they believe is the all-decade team. So all we are doing is creating the nominees. Now, the ultimate hope was that we would have, you know, double the amount of starting spots nominated. That may not exactly be the case because, again, so much badness. So much badness. So, you know, we may just vote for three linebackers rather than two outside linebackers and one middle linebacker. It may just be, you know, we need three linebackers. We need four defensive linemen. We need two corners. We need two safeties, that kind of thing. But Bailey and I are still going to go through. We're going to talk about the defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers, corners, etc., etc. So let's start with the defensive tackles. Bailey, who do you have as your nominees?
All right. Well, I think the easiest one out of all these, maybe the one of 1A, 1B, the easiest. I wish you wouldn't say things like that. easiest is Gerald McCoy, of course, spending the better part of the decade, almost the entire decade, if it wasn't for 2019, with the Bucs and up there in all the teams. All the team records, he's up there. I think he's third in sacks. He's up there with a lot of things. Games played, he's up there. Easy pick. And then after that, I have Clinton McDonald, who I think was a solid player, fought some injuries, but he had 2 5 sack seasons, pretty decent in his 4 years here. And then two recent names, Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh, despite the fact that they played 2 years and 1 year respectively in the decade.
Bailey, I have the exact same list. And when you go through the defensive tackles that the Buccaneers had through the decade, these are the four best. These are the guys that played the best in a Buccaneers uniform. And I know we're going to get to some people that spent very brief moments in Buccaneers uniforms or maybe flourished once they were out of Buccaneers uniforms. Sizzle, sizzle, teaser. But you go through and you look at all the people. Gerald McCoy was the constant for years and years and years. He was the one guy you could count on. And we talked about it for forever that he needed somebody alongside him to really be able to go to that next level. And he just never got it. I mean, Vita Vea was good next to him, but that only lasted a year. And in comes Ndamukong Suh, and then Vita Vea really took off. But when you really go through and you look at all these rosters, the four best players to be defensive tackles for this team are Gerald McCoy, Clinton McDonald, and Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much left to say. I mean, those were – I don't even think there's anyone else that was close. Like, I got to the three spots. I even had Vita Vea in there, and I was like, I guess it's Suh. Suh is the fourth one because there was just so many other guys that I looked at, and I was like, he's not it. He's not it. And, yeah, so I ended up on Suh as my number four there.
Yeah, I basically did the exact same thing. So let's go ahead and let's move over to defensive end. And I'll go ahead and go first on this one. And obviously, number one, without a shadow of a doubt, Jason Pierre-Paul. And then I also have William Golston. Not a huge stats guy, but he was a constant. He was reliable. He did his job well. And continued to play well in 2019, despite the limited snaps. And then I also have Carl Nassib, who has played well in his 2 years. But again, you know, he's bouncing between defensive end and outside linebacker for his 2 years in Tampa. But for the sake of argument, we're going to put him at defensive end. And then somebody who played relatively well for the Bucks, but went on to be a dominant defensive force for years to come. I have Michael Bennett. So those are the four guys that I have slated at defensive end.
Yeah, I don't really have too many different ones. I don't have Carl Nassib, although I considered him. I do have JPP with his 21 sacks in 26 games. I have Michael Bennett, who had 14 sacks over 3 years. I do have Will Golston, and I think Will Golston, honestly, as I was going through this and kind of figuring out my list, I did not even realize how long he's been with the Bucks. I mean, he's been since 2013. He's been in a Tampa Bay uniform. He spent his whole career here, and I don't know why that slipped my mind, but he was my third guy. And then my fourth guy, it wasn't Nassib, it was Jacquees Smith, who spent a very brief time in Tampa. Injuries kind of derailed his time in Tampa, but I think while he played, he was somebody that we looked at as somebody that really looked like he was going to be stepping up and becoming a really good defensive end for defenses that didn't really have much else talent on it. So, I mean, he had in 2 years, 13 and a half sacks in 27 games. In 2015, he had 3 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries. So he's a guy that I think it's easy to forget about considering how brief his time was in Tampa, but I think he's worth mentioning here.
Absolutely. And that's almost a, a what could have been, you know, for the Bucks, because I mean, everybody remembers how hyped we were for him heading into 2018, just to see him go out in week one against the Falcons. And it was heartbreaking. But, you know, when Smith got his opportunity, he was a solid contributor.
Yeah, and I liked watching him a lot. It's just unfortunate how everything ended with that.
All right. Bailey, let's talk linebackers.
Oh, boy.
Because
we
got some really good ones. But we're going through, and it's just a lot of, I don't even remember that being a human being, let alone a starting NFL player.
As I was going through just the teams by year, I saw Barrett Root on there, and I was like, I for some reason I thought he played deeper into the decade. I think it said 2010 was his last year with the Bucks, and I had no idea. I would have thought it was like 2012 or something. But anyway, my list of linebackers, the easy one is Lavonte David. Another pretty easy one is Quan Alexander. And another pretty easy one is Shaq Barrett, despite it being just 1 year. I mean, the year he had is the best we've seen from a Buccaneer defender in a long time, maybe ever. Certainly up there. And then aside from that, I have Devin White in there after 1 year. I have Adam Hayward. I thought he was kind of more of a role guy, I think. But, you know, this list got really, really bare down once we got down to it. And then I had Mason Foster, who I did really like in his time here. Thought he was a pretty good player.
Yeah, he was another one that it just seemed like his time in Tampa just wasn't quite long enough. And I would have liked to have seen what he could have continued to do here. Instead, he moved on to be with the Washington Redskins. I don't have anybody different. And I know you and I discussed beforehand, you know, do we put JPP at defensive end or outside linebacker? Do we put Carl Nassib at defensive end, outside linebacker? I think the linebacker group that we have is a pretty solid one. And I know it's difficult to throw some of these guys in after just 1 year. Ndamukong Suh, Devin White, yeah, we're going to have some other 1 year players on this list because, again, not to beat a dead horse, but slim pickings. But Devin White had an incredible rookie year. You know, when he came back from injury, he just continued to get better and better and better. He was a defensive rookie of the month 2 months in a row. So yeah, I mean, he was playing, you know, at a next level. Quan Alexander, you're always a fan favorite. Well, he was always a fan favorite. A lot of hate for Quan Alexander in the Bucks Nation mentions on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what that stems. Does it stem from him leaving and getting his bag, or is it him hitting Jameis late? Or I don't know. I guess it was a late hit. in week one? And where does that come from? I mean, it seemed like he was loved here.
Yeah, I don't know what it's from, because it's not like he told the Bucks off or badmouthed the Bucks at all. Like, he took a huge offer from the San Francisco 49ers that the Bucks were never, ever, ever going to match. I don't hold that against him, like, at all. You know, go get yours, young man. Now he's playing in a Super Bowl. Good for him. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, I'm thrilled for Kwan, and I'm even more thrilled for John Lynch, my second favorite Buccaneer of all time. You know, I didn't understand it, because I had tweeted out, I said, so we're all rooting for John Lynch and Kwon Alexander in this one, right? And it was like a 50-50 split, and the anger towards Kwon, like a lot of F Kwon comments rolling in, and I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I don't know if it's just the late hit on Jameis. And I did kind of feel like it was weird that after that game, he got a game ball in the locker room. It seemed like a very strange thing. But I mean, yeah, I don't really get the hate for him. And it seems misplaced, if anything.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder if he's not going to get voted into our all-decade team because of a little bit of bitterness. If he doesn't, it would be a travesty. But yeah, again, one more time, our linebackers are Lavonte David, Kwon Alexander, Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Adam Hayward, and Mason Foster. Again, just before we move on, to reiterate, all of you will have the opportunity to vote on these players. These are our nominees. You know, we are not saying that this is the all-decade team. These are who Bailey and I are nominating for the defensive side of the ball. There will be voting so that the listeners and the Bucks Nation readers can all vote on who the fans all decade team is. Bailey, let's move on to corner. Another black hole of suctitude outside of a couple of people. I'll go first on this one. Obviously, Rondé Barber, without a shadow of a doubt, future Hall of Famer. Rondé Barber was the Buccaneers for a very, very long time. Outside of him, again, it's just, I have Aqib Talib, who was good when he was here, but couldn't stay out of trouble. It went on to become a multi-time Pro Bowler, multi-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champion. Another one-and-done guy in Darrell Revis. Now, Revis had a semi-down year when he was with Tampa, but he still made plays. He still, you know, he had a couple of key interceptions. He had a game-winning interception on Monday Night Football to get the Bucs their first win of the season.
I was there.
Oh, well, yeah, rub it in, why don't you? Rub it in.
I was there watching an 0-8 Bucs team play the Dolphins on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I remember people on Twitter talking about how selfish Darrell Revis was for intercepting that ball, because it was a fourth down, and if he had batted it down, the Bucks would have had better field position. But he was too selfish. He had to get his stats.
Oh my
God. No, shut up. Intercept the ball. End the game. Like, ugh, it's wild. Do you see Revis and Sherman going at it on Twitter?
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention to it, but I've seen a couple of their tweets, and it's intriguing. Not intriguing. It's just, it's interesting. Like, it's entertaining, but I don't know. I did see another guy come to the defense of Richard Sherman and say to Darrell Revis, "Where's your Super Bowl ring?" And not only does Darrell Revis have a Super Bowl ring, but this guy that said that had Patriot. He's a Patriots fan. He had that in his bio.
Yeah.
So if you want to just, if you don't get the irony there, Darrell Revis won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, supposedly this guy's favorite team, and he's calling out Darrell Revis for not having a Super Bowl ring. I can't.
Not only that, but Darrell Revis got a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots against Richard Sherman.
Yeah. I don't get it.
But all Darrell Revis said about Richard Sherman was what I've been saying about him since he was in Seattle in the Legion of Boom. Like, I like Richard Sherman. I do. I respect the hell out of him. He is a, in my opinion, without a doubt, a first ballot Hall of Fame player. But I have argued for years and years and years that Revis is the better of the two corners, because if Sherman wants to talk about how he's the best and he wants to scream at Aaron Andrews about a sorry receiver like Crabtree and and all that stuff, follow the best receiver all over the field. He always just stayed on one side. So yeah, half the time he was covering a sorry receiver like Crabtree, but somebody like Revis was following Calvin Johnson all over the field. He was following Randy Moss all over the field. Like, that's what a true number one does. So
Revis Island, baby.
That's right. That's right. I remember how excited I was when the Bucks got Darrelle Revis. I was so happy. And then Lovie Smith came in and ruined everything. Anyway, the final corner that I have on here was Brent Grimes. And I wrote it down begrudgingly, but he did have some good years in Tampa. And the good years that he had in Tampa were far and away better than pretty much any other corner that has come through here.
Yeah, I remember one of them. I can't remember. I think it was his first year here. Didn't he have like 20? He was in the 20s and passes defense, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a stellar first season in Tampa.
Yeah, and I remember, like, I was like, oh, the Bucs need to get him back. They need to have him back. And then he came back and things happened.
Shout out Miko.
Can we not shout out Miko?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gil. Thanks for that open letter. Jeez.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, Miko credited Gil as part of the reason that they came to Tampa.
Oh, man. Look what you did, Gil.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Gil. Oh, unbelievable. Bailey, who were your corners?
All right, my corners, I did have Aqib Talib on there. I obviously had Rondé Barber on there. I had Brent Grimes on there. And while I considered Darrelle Revis, didn't Darrelle Revis make a Pro Bowl while he was here?
He did.
I think that's just so easy to forget. It's so strange. But I didn't have Darrelle Revis on here. I actually had Alteron Verner on here, which I think is just a testament to the status or the state of these nominations in some cases. Because, I mean, he had a couple decent years, but I don't think anywhere else in the league would he be an all-decade nominee.
No, but, I mean, he was the one that came in to replace Revis.
I'm throwing his name out there anyway.
Hey, you know, shout out Vernon. Where did he go when he left Tampa?
That's an excellent question. If you give,
because he
minute.
Came from Tennessee. Did he go back to Tennessee?
He came from Tennessee. Oh, he went to Miami.
That's right.
He didn't do really anything at all. Actually, he had two forced fumbles. He had two forced fumbles, but he had 15 tackles in 15 games.
Hey, you can't tackle people when they're, you know, when the quarterback's not throwing at you. Yeah, that's just a shutdown corner right there.
Sure.
Shout out Miami Dolphin Alteron Verner.
Wow.
All right. Bailey, who do you have? I almost called you David.
You
I
almost
apologize.
Called me David.
Muscle memory, man. We've been doing this for 3 years.
I am not an Ohio State fan.
Thank God.
I would never.
Oh, man. So who do you have for your free safeties there, buddy?
My free safeties, I had Deshaun Goldson, another guy who had his better years away from Tampa, but came and played pretty decently. Bradley McDougal, another guy who had his better years away, but he had a good start, I think, here in Tampa. And then you brought this to my attention. I didn't even realize he played in this decade, but Tanar Jackson was up there.
Yeah, those are I have Tanar Jackson on mine. I have Bradley McDougal on mine. And, of course, McDougal was a, you know, he and Keith Tandy, who we'll get to in a minute, you know, they were a catalyst to that 9-7 season that the Bucs had, that 5-game win streak and, you know, narrowly missing out on the playoffs. And we thought we had the start of something special there. We did not. Mm-hmm. But I also, just because I could, also have Rondé Barber nominated at free safety because he did spend a couple years back there under Greg Schiano. One of the few things that Greg Schiano really did right when he was in Tampa was the first game when Rondé had moved to safety, Schiano still started him at corner so that he could break the consecutive starts record for the Bucs as a corner before officially moving to safety. I thought that was a great gesture. It was a great move. But when Rondé was a safety, he was a good one. Like, it's not easy to transition to that, but Rondé was a solid safety for this team.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think it's funny how it came at just the tail end of his career, but he had some good years back there. It was a year or two, right? I can't remember exactly the year or years he was back there, but yeah, no, that was a cool move by Greg Schiano. And it was a great move. Probably one of the last ones that he made with the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm Rondé played 2 years at safety.
Okay.
Cause I think he retired when Lovey came in. I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember. That was so long ago. It wasn't that long ago, but
it really wasn't. All the sucky years just start to run together after a while.
They really do. They really do.
I mean, all we're going to take away from the Greg Schiano era was the quarterback controversy, MRSA, and bull toes rushing the victory formation. Oh, toes on the line. Toes on the line. And now he's back at Rutgers.
He's back at Rutgers.
Where it all started.
Where he got an NFL job out of going winning eight and nine games at Rutgers.
Hey, when the team pretty much only won one or two every year, that's a solid improvement.
Is it a jump to the NFL improvement?
Well, you know, Chip Kelly left us at the altar during the middle of the night. Oh, God.
What a sad history.
Decade of sadness.
If the Bucs hadn't won the Super Bowl when they did, if they didn't have a Super Bowl right now, I think they might be up there. I mean, they're already up there with the Browns anyway, I think, in terms of recent sadness. But, man, that Super Bowl is really all anyone has to go back to when things aren't going well.
Why does the Schiano era seem longer ago away than the Super Bowl run?
I can't agree with you there. I have no idea why you think that.
I guess just because I remember those years so vividly.
Yeah.
And I think I've just tried to block out all of the sadness that it Schiano seems like an eternity, but 2002 seems like yesterday. I don't know. It's weird. Time is a construct.
True. We don't have time to get into that right now, but
we have gone off the rails. I hope you're proud of yourself, David Harrison. You see what you've done. Who do you have at strong safety, Bailey?
I just had Keith Tandy. Yeah, I had Keith Tandy for mostly for that run there at the end of 2016, which I think everyone has just referred to as the Keith Tandy year. And yeah, I mean, there's not a lot out here. Initially I had just listed safeties out, so I didn't have them broken up into free safeties and strong safeties. But I had Keith Tandy. Do you have other people?
I do have other people. Let the hate just rain upon me.
Oh boy.
I do have Mark Barron.
Oh boy.
Although he was never going to live up to the billing of his draft position because that was a terrible decision. He was decent, and he did go on to have a pretty respectable career in with the Rams. I have Chris Conte. Poor Chris Conte. He got so much hate all the time. And sometimes it was warranted, but he wasn't as bad as people wanted to make him.
You're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong.
And when you look at the landscape of safeties over the last 10 years, even the biggest Conte haters would have to look at him and be like, yeah, he's probably still top three. So I put him on there.
It's very sad.
I remember when he blocked the pewter plank Twitter account. Because I was yelling at him on Twitter, and I feel bad.
Good times. I mean, Mark Barron, man. You know who went two picks after him?
Luke Kuechly?
Yep. I mean, to be fair, though, I think if they do pick Kuechly, they don't end up with Levante, right?
Or they use their brain parts and they draft both of them.
And they win another Super Bowl just off of two linebackers.
Yes.
You know what? I've talked myself back into that being a terrible thing they did, taking Mark Barron. Ryan Tannehill went the pick after.
I think...
Oh, boy.
I hate football. So let's talk punters.
It's not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable at all.
No, it's not. At least we have the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Not for this week.
No, not for this week. God, they don't play again until next Monday.
I'm annoyed.
Very. Very usually, annoyed.
Usually after we finish recording, I have a Lightning game to go watch. And after we finish recording, I think I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm watching the Bruins and the Golden Knights right now.
Okay.
The Penguins and the Flyers are on NBC Sports Network.
It's not the same.
It's not, but at least it's something to watch.
Yeah, I got you.
Did you DVR the national championship? Can you go watch LSU win again?
I didn't DVR that, and I didn't realize, like...
Even I DVR'd it, and neither one of them is my team.
I usually just find it on YouTube. Like, I find old games on YouTube, and they usually... People will upload it somehow, some way.
And I DVR'd the one where Pat McAfee was doing the commentary.
I'm kind of regretting, like, if I didn't have a rooting interest, I think I would have gone to, like, the alternative broadcasts, but I stuck with the main one. We're off on a completely, like, ridiculous tangent right now, but have you seen Pat McAfee, professional baseball player?
I have not watched that yet. I you want have to watch it. I've seen clips of it, but it's
amazing.
Yeah, I've heard the blooper reel at the end is the best part.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I started it last week, I think, and then finished it last night because I remembered it was a thing, and I was just sitting there crying, laughing.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to watch, along with the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix.
I've heard that's amazing, but also tragically sad, of course. But
yeah, and then also the Don't F with Cats on Netflix.
I haven't heard anything about that.
You have not heard about this?
No.
Oh, man. Like, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Wild, wild documentary. We can discuss further off air because we've really, really gone off the rails at this point. Let's talk punters because that is something the Bucks did a lot of. So my nominees for punter for the All-Decade team are Brian Anger and Michael Kanin.
I have no arguments. I thought how that ended up was Michael Kanin did a very good job, I thought, for the majority of his time here. I think he kind of tailed off. I think his last year was a little bit rougher. But shortly after that, might have been immediately after that, Brian Anger was in there. And I was a huge Brian Anger fan. I think at one point, I think it was... maybe 2016, I had some kind of hashtag going. It was like Brian Anger fan club. It was something like that. I was a huge Brian Anger guy.
Yeah. He had a heck of a year. And of course he had, the Bucks in general in 2016 had one of the best special teams units. Wasn't that really the birth of Ryan Smith special teams all-star?
I think it was because that was – I remember in the game against the Saints at home late in that season, he had a play down there by the goal line that was –
That was the Michael Jackson lean, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it was. I was also there in case you were wondering. So,
you want to know the last Buccaneers game that I got to attend, Bailey?
Was it the Bengals preseason game?
No, it was the Bengals regular season game where Jameis decided to throw four interceptions in the first half.
Oh, no.
And in came Fitzmagic and almost brought them back.
You got to get down to Tampa.
I know I do.
I'm waiting. Waiting for the day.
All right. Can I crash on your couch?
Yeah.
That's
sounded... Actually, we have a spare bedroom.
I was gonna say, you sounded like you were filled with regret that you brought it up as soon as I said that. Like, oh yeah.
No, we have a spare bedroom.
Tell you what, I'll crash with you for a night, and then I'll go crash with Gil, and then I'll come running back to you because you don't have children.
True. I just have a dog.
I love dogs.
Great. This is awesome.
What kind of dog?
Honestly, have no idea. We've heard 100 different things.
Okay.
Hound retriever is one of them we've heard.
So a bigger dog?
She's like 50 pounds. She's not that big.
It's not a purse dog, basically.
No, not at all. No, not
okay. Right. See, that's. See, I had beagles when I was growing up, and I loved my beagles, but I want a big dog. I want a lab or a husky.
Yeah, before we got this one, we had a Shih Tzu, and then before that Shih Tzu, we had another Shih Tzu. So this was a little bit different for us. I think we've set a new record, world record, for amount of tangents to go off in one podcast.
We might have, but hopefully it's bringing happiness in the memories of sadness that we are discussing.
Yeah, we're just kind of mixing it up for you guys. I hope you guys appreciate it.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, kicker. Bailey, I will let you go first. Who do you have for your all-decade team kicker nominees?
Roberto Aguayo and Kyle Brinza.
Beautiful.
Not actually. I can't even keep, like, can't let you guys think for a second that I actually said that for real.
Then it'll go perfectly with my Lawrence Tynes and Nick Folk nominations.
Perfect. We should do an all-decade, like, all non-decade team. I don't know if I said that right, but...
David, if you have not turned this off in disgust yet, Bailey and I propose that we do the all-decade of sadness team where we pick the worst lineups possible.
Head coach Greg Schiano.
Starting quarterback Josh McCown.
Defensive coordinator Lovie Smith. Mike Smith. Oh my gosh, there's so many. Oh.
Oh, all right. So anyway, your real kickers.
My real kickers. Oh, yeah. I never gave those. The easy one's Connor Barth. I think the last reliable kicker the Bucks have had, unless you count Matt Gay, but that's a touchy subject. And then my second nomination was Patrick Murray, who I think kind of just gets lost in the shuffle, despite the fact that he had two stints in Tampa and did pretty well in both of them.
Yeah, I liked Pat Murray. I liked Connor Barth. I also did nominate Matt Gay because I think he had a great rookie season. He had a couple of games that were rough. But you know what was great about those is when he had those rough games, he bounced back. And that's something that we hadn't really seen from Buccaneers kickers for the whole decade. So I think, I think that earned him a nomination. Do I think he'll win? No. But I think he deserved to be discussed for sure.
I can't really argue it. I think if he hadn't had such a bad week 17 game, people would have remembered his rookie year on a lot happier note, because he had gone on a pretty nice stretch there after the Giants game when he cost them the game pretty much. I mean, the defense did too, but okay.
Yeah, he made something ridiculous, like 24 or 27 consecutive kicks after that Giants game.
Yeah, and I mean, he did a great job for most of the year, and then there was just the last – it's a sour note to end on for the season, but we'll see how he bounces back. I think he still has the potential to be a reliable guy that the Bucks haven't had for a decade since Connor Barth.
Calling it right now. His bounce back season in 2020, he will miss a grand total of one kick all year.
I'm gonna try to remember that you said that, because I don't think that's gonna happen.
Way to have faith, Bailey. Way to have faith.
I'm sorry. I think he's gonna make. I think he's gonna miss zero.
Oh. See, no kicker has ever had a perfect season. I was giving him a little bit of wiggle room, but still setting the record for, highest field goal percentage ever. You're going all in. Okay.
All right. I'm not actually, but.
Nope, too late. It's on record. It's on the podcast.
Fine. It's good.
All right. Well, Bailey, let's review one more time for anybody who is still with us.
If you're still with us, man, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. Our Tampa Bay Buccaneers All-Decade Team defensive nominees. We have defensive tackle Gerald McCoy, Ndamukong Suh, Clinton McDonald, and Vita Vea. Defensive end, we have Jason Pierre-Paul, Carl Nassib, Jacquees Smith, William Golston, and Michael Bennett. At linebacker, we have Lavonte David, Quan Alexander, Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Adam Hayward, and Mason Foster. At cornerback, Rondae Barber, Darrell Revis, Brent Grimes, Aqib Talib, and Alteron Verner. The safeties, Deshaun Goldson, Bradley McDougal, Tenard Jackson, Rondae Barber, Keith Tandy, Chris Conte, and Mark Barron. At punter, we have Brian Anger and Michael Kanan. At kicker, we have Connor Barth, Matt Gay, and Patrick Murray.
Wow.
I guess it's an okay defense.
It's not great.
It's okay. The front seven is way better than the back four.
Oh, easily.
Can we just clone Rondae Barber to be three corners and two safeties?
That works for me.
We can keep Darrell Revis too. Revis can come.
Okay.
Other than that, all Rondae Barbers.
I can do that.
All right. Well, Bailey, any parting thoughts as we have completely depressed everyone by talking about how bad the Buccaneers have been for the last 10 years?
Hopefully, when we're doing this at the end of the next decade, if I'm still around with Locked On Bucks, if you guys keep asking me back for some reason, hopefully we're doing this at the end of 2030. Hopefully things are a little bit better. That's all I really have to say.
Bailey, by 2030, you're going to be hosting the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. David will be working for an NFL team somewhere. And frankly, I may not just be around anymore.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I keep telling my wife I'm checking out at 50, but that it just keeps creeping up more and more and more by the week.
It's got dark. So,
yeah. I might be done at 45. We'll see. We'll see how things go.
Oh boy.
All right. Well, again, keep a lookout at Bucks Nation as well as on the Locked On Bucks Twitter account for when we post the poll for all of you to vote on who you believe deserves to be a all-decade member of the Buccaneers team for the 2010s. Please check out everything going on over at bucksnation.com. Make sure that you are sending us your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. Bailey, I have the feeling that this would not have been nearly as sad or depressing of an episode if David had let us do the offense.
Absolutely. I'll try to forgive David, even though he just completely almost didn't bring up UCF wide receiver Gabriel Davis on yesterday's episode. I think I have a lot going against David right now, man.
You really do. You really do. David, you're bringing everything down right now.
James but is we my still, favorite right now.
Just right now? At some point I wasn't your favorite?
I didn't pick favorites before this.
Oof. I even publicly called you my favorite in the group chat multiple times. All right. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding Wednesday. And I promise next Wednesday's episode is going to be way happier. I don't know what the topic is yet, but we're going to be way happier. We really just we struggled getting through this. But, you know, it's therapy. We're all talking about it. Let's get it out of our system. We're all going to be happier for it in the long run. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.